Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos. Here we go.
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we're going to do on-the-spot deal structuring. Jeff's going to put me on the spot again. This is something that he's already taken the time to make some offers on. And so he's going to tell me about the property. And then we're going to just kind of try to work backwards and create some offers. When I say work backwards, I mean we're probably going to find out what our exit strategy is up front. And then, you know, if this is going to be a rental or an owner-occupant kind of deal, we want to figure out what we could rent it out for a month and then minus our expenses and, a return on our investment and go that route. So we haven't done this in a while. Jeff wanted to do it just to put me on the spot, I think, keep me fresh.
I love this personally. But yeah, I don't know if you do, but I do.
No, I do. It's a great learning opportunity. I always get a little nervous when we go to do these, but it's a great learning opportunity. So let's dive in.
Okay. All right. So let's give you some particulars and that way everyone can kind of follow along with us. It's a single family home.
Okay.
Four bed, two bath, two car garage.
So single fam. What was, you said two bed, two bath
or four bed, two bath, like 1750 square feet, 0.18 of an acre. The taxes run 1744 a year.
Okay.
And it was built in 1972.
Okay.
Let's see. So current condition, they ranked it as like a 7. It needs some roof repair, maybe not replacing, just maybe some repair. The bath and the kitchens haven't been updated. Had no idea how old the HVAC was. He thinks, and when I say he, the seller thinks the property is worth $280,000. Said he would take $250,000. That they owe $133,000 on the property, $133,000.
Okay.
Monthly payment of $665 PITI.
How much was that again?
$665. Yep. Okay, and then I'm going to give you, so they would take payments for their equity. Okay. And we believe that the value is between 282 and
295.
282, 295? Yes. So he thought it was worth about 280. It's probably worth, 10 or so thousand more.
Okay. So that's ARV.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So what I want to do, Jonathan, is I want to first talk about where do we go first? Where would we even start with this property? I mean, do we want to write an offer? Why do we want to write an offer? How do we know if we want to write an offer?
Well, there's certainly a lot of equity there, so I think it's definitely worth writing an offer.
Okay.
Things like automatically kind of trigger a flag in my head for like renting it out is if it needs roof repair and then maybe some updating in the kitchens and bathrooms. I mean, what's the extent of that? That sounds like it could be, you know, I don't know what the overall condition is, but
that's, me either. I haven't seen it yet.
It sounds like it could be pretty extensive up front.
It's very possible that, you know, we had to make an assumption. And so we made an assumption, but it's very possible once we go see it that it could be, you know, needing a lot more than what we thought.
Yeah.
By the way, the seller is difficult to understand. So communication has not been easy.
Okay. That makes it harder for like any seller finance, right?
It was hard to figure out what kind of condition the property was in. So
yeah. Okay. So, I mean, the first way I always look at a property is, you know, if it needs a lot of work, which this one just kind of, I have that hunch, you know, if there's some deferred roof maintenance and nothing's been updated probably in a long time, there's probably going to be, in my mind, probably 25K right there.
Yep.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Okay. So would you make a cash offer?
Well, I wouldn't even be close, but my cash offer would be somewhere just throwing, you know, $25,000 at the repairs. I take that $290,000 and I just times that by 0.8. And then from there, I just minus, say, 25. And this just kind of gets me in the ballpark. I'm at 207 for a cash offer.
Okay.
So I think I would make a cash offer.
So you're not close, but you're not like so far off that it would be super insulting, right?
Yeah. And if they want 250, they might look at that as an insult. But I think my offer right away would be 205. So from there.
Real quick, within, you know, 2 minutes, you're able to decide, hey, I can make a cash offer.
Yeah, 205.
Okay.
And mostly because it sounds like it needs a lot of work. And if they just, there's still enough equity there. If they owe 133 and, you know, they say they accept 205, they're going to walk away with some cash. And
right.
That might work for them.
Yeah.
Problem is with people like this who think they're, you know, the ARV's 280, but, you know, they'll take 250 for it is, they probably don't have a reasonable idea of what their house is worth in its current condition if it needs a ton of work. So
they probably think it needs 25,000 in work, and if it's worth 280, maybe we'll sell for 250.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we see that a lot.
Exactly. And it's just not how it works.
Yeah.
And if they were to put it on the market and it needs a ton of work, they're only going to be getting cash offers anyway, because most likely someone's not going to come in, and get FHA. A FHA loan on this.
Yep.
So sometimes with these kind of sellers, what you have to do is just kind of, you kind of have to show them what have sold on the market for cash and kind of what the condition is. So you have to kind of bring their expectations down a little bit.
Okay.
So yeah, 205 on that. And then now we just need to look to see what this thing could do as a rental for us.
So here's the interesting part. Normally I would tell you what it would rent for, but when we went to Rent-O-Meter, we put in the address and it did not show up. So we weren't able to get an accurate rental comp, but this is what I would tell you. My guess is that this will rent for $1,500-$1,600 a month.
$1,500 to $1,600.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this in Utah, Jeff?
Yes. On the west side.
Okay.
Yep.
$1,600 a month. Salt Lake, west side?
Or? West Valley, Salt Lake.
Okay, yeah. That sounds pretty reasonable then.
Yeah, right. I mean, in that range.
Okay. So from that $1,600 a month, from there, what we're going to want to do is just take out our expenses. and then some cash flow. And then we'll kind of have an idea of what we have to work with to give the seller as far as down payment to create some terms here.
Okay, so what do you mean by that? So what are we going to do?
So we're going to take our what we believe we can rent it for. So let's call it $1,600.
Okay.
And then we're going to minus some expenses here. So we're going to minus, okay. Let's see, what'd you say the taxes was?
Taxes were
for a year.
1744.
That's what I got. 1744. So about 145 a month.
Yep.
1600 minus 145. And then we're probably going to, we might have to pay water, sewer, garbage. Most likely with single families, I can pass that on, but we're not, we're just going to, say that's like $70 a month.
Yep.
And that might be a little high, but in the summertime around here that, you know, that goes up. So minus 70, and then, let's see. Water, sewer, garbage, taxes, and then insurance, call that like $45 a month.
Yeah, I don't even think it's that high, but okay. 45?
Yeah, 45. So that puts us about $1,340 a month.
Okay.
And then with a single family, I would want at least like $300 a month in cash flow or something close to that. So let's just minus 300 from there.
Well, how about before we even take out what you're trying to pass on, remember there's some debt service.
Yep. Okay. And I was going to do that last. So okay.
do it the way you're going to do it.
Yeah. If we just take our cash flow off there, say we wanted 300 a month, That puts us at 1,040. And now if we minus that debt service, there's not a whole lot of room here. That was 665. I should be doing this on my calculator. So 375 is kind of what I got that we could give potentially to our seller.
Well, remember, taxes and insurance are escrowed in their payment.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be reimbursed that amount. They're going to be reimbursed for the taxes, $145.
Okay. So they'll receive a little more than that. Yes, mm-hmm. So they'll receive
almost 500.
Yep, 520.
Yep.
So that might be interesting to them.
Yep.
Okay. So from here, let's see, they wanted 250. I don't know that we could give them that.
Well, let's look at one thing first, really quick. So you've already decided that, hey, I've got to have at least $300 a month cash flow, right?
Yeah.
So 300 over the course of a year would be 3,600, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the price range on this house? Is, you know, 250.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're selling it, what do we think that we're going to get, you know, down payment wise? 25, 30, something like that?
Yeah.
Something like that, right around that 10% range?
Yeah.
So if we have $300 a month cash flow, $3,600 for the year, and we divide it by 25,000, we're at about 14.5% cash on cash return, right?
Yeah.
So but we're in that range. I mean, this wouldn't get me super excited. I don't know that it gets, you know, too many landlords super excited to be able to make $300 a month cash flow. But at least the numbers are working so far. They're within range, right?
Right.
Okay. All right, so tell me where you're going next. What are you doing?
So from here, now that we know, I mean, if we could get someone to pay 25K down, then we just need to, I might hold it. I don't know. If if I could be into it for like 15,000, I think I would hold it myself as a rental. Okay. But I'm not sure if I'd want to put up, you know, 25 or more. But they're
would
probably
you hold it. Would you hold it with 15 down plus the repair costs that would have to go into it, or 15 like?
Yeah, that's kind of what along the lines is I was thinking, because I'm hoping maybe we could put 10 into it just to kind of spruce it up and make whatever necessary roof repairs. But that would be like, you know, paint and carpet and kind of keeping the old finishes. But I don't know how bad those are.
Right. Well, and keep in mind, when we just figured out cash on cash return, if our buyer has to go put in, you know, 10 grand to get this worked out, now if they put up 25, now they're getting $3,600 a month cash flow divided by like 35,000.
Yeah, correct. So
they're really more at like a 10% return on investment, cash on cash.
Yeah, and that might be a little high. So I guess, and then if we're going to make any kind of wholesale fee, we would need them to bring in a little more or offer our seller a little less, right?
Well, what are you thinking about offering the seller down payment wise?
I was kind of thinking that, you know, $10,000 to $15,000 range.
Okay.
So let's just say a purchase price of $240,000. Let's just say.
50. So how'd you come up with the purchase price?
So that's just me picking that number, thinking that it probably needs more work. Now, of course, once I see the property, I'd have kind of a better idea.
Yeah. No, I get it.
If they're asking, and this is kind of my thoughts, if they're asking $250,000 and the property needs work, you know, then it's probably a fair assumption that we can bring them off that number a little bit. So I'm just thinking, that's why I'm just thinking that, you know, just drop that $10,000 and just do $240,000 right there.
Yeah.
$240,000 and then, I don't know, somewhere around maybe 12,000 down. So that would put us at like 228 present value. So
240 purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Minus 12 down.
Yeah, let's say 12 down. Because right now I would think that the goal would be to just try to wholesale it, find someone that can bring in, you know, somewhere close to 25. But that, again, with the amount of repairs needed, that's still kind of questionable, right?
Well, you know, we did an episode, you know, a few episodes ago where we, you know, part of my thought process is to try to think of who our potential buyer would be. So right now you're thinking along the lines of my potential buyer will be
a landlord. Yeah, but that might not be the case. We might find an owner occupant as well. Especially well,
and your cash offer could have been based on a landlord or a rehabber, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So right now this potentially could fit a number of different buyers, landlord, rehabber, and potentially owner occupant.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you a question, Jeff. Is there kind of a way that you go? I mean, a lot of it depends on how much work is needed, right? So if we go look at the property and we're like, man, 35,000, then it kind of eliminates the owner occupant, right? But say it's dated and it might need a little roof repair.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you could potentially find an owner occupant for that. And that might work, but it really just depends on how much work it needs up front. And even like, I think 25,000, if it needed 25,000 to update it and repair the roofs, I think that's too much for an owner occupant.
So it depends. And here's how I would answer that question. So $25,000 into a house like this, I mean, let's say the roof repair needed 2,000, and let's say that you know, some of the flooring is beat up, you know, could use a good paint job, the kitchen could be updated, the two baths are, you know, they're functional, but you know, they're not super nice. So your buyer pool is going to be less for an owner-occupant, but do you think that there are people that are willing to kind of work for equity? This property is worth, $290. Where can you go and get into a property for like $25,000 down, be paying about $1,000-ish a month, and be able to, some of the stuff they could do themselves, right? You can paint, pretty much anyone can paint.
Yeah.
And maybe the kitchen, the bathrooms don't need to be updated right away. Or maybe it's someone that's handy or a contractor. So there are still ways of selling some properties. If it's not livable, the roof needs to be replaced. It's going to cost 10 grand. That's certainly going to lessen the buyer pool for owner occupants. Mm-hmm. But there are people that are, fine with, for good terms and some equity, I'm happy to get in a deal and do the fix up over some time myself.
Yeah, and that's true. Again, as long as that didn't cost too much, right?
Or
is it too extensive, I guess.
Correct. Yeah. The more extensive, the more it gets into, it's going to be, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it's going to be more difficult to find that buyer. There's going to be less of them.
Correct. And that's kind of what I was saying before is are these people living in the property? Do you know if they're occupying it?
I believe they are.
Okay. Cause it might not be in, too bad a shape. It really might just be dated and, need some roof repair.
Yep.
So is there a way you go from there, Jeff, when you're like, okay, this can fit an owner occupant. Definitely going to make a cash offer. Or it could also fit a landlord if we're able to get that $300 a month cash flow in there. And then also let me ask you, have you, in your preliminary research, have you assigned any kind of value to the repair costs?
So I have, just based on my assumptions, based on information that we have, the guy said my house is a 7, that there haven't been any updates recently and that they have, some kind of leak in the back end of their roof. That's all I know. I do know that it's 1700, is that right? 1700 square feet.
Yeah, 1750 is what you said. 1750.
Yeah, 1750. So normally, as like a rehab, I would probably put $30,000 to $40,000 in rehab on it. If I wanted to retail it, but again, I'm in the same boat that you are. Is that there's some assumptions that I've got to make, and for us, it's more important to get the offer out and, hopefully get it accepted and, then go verify what we're dealing with. And that's what we've done is that the reason I'm not giving you like an address is that we sent him a purchase agreement yesterday. So we're just waiting for him to sign it and then we will go verify.
Okay. So along the lines of my other offer, or what I was saying, like 240, purchase price, let's say 12,000 down. And then let's just see if they'll finance 95,000, for like 3 years.
What do you mean finance 95?
So I just took that 240 and, just minus my down payment.
So you're asking them to finance 228, right?
Yeah. Well, total. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
But I just took off their debt service. That's why. Okay. I put that. So the 133, and that would put me at 95 to kind of create some. Do you know what their underlying interest rate is right now?
I don't. So are you trying to create one note or are you trying to create two? Our last episode, we talked exactly about this.
I would want to do a wrap. So I just want to create one wraparound mortgage or all-inclusive trust deed, I think.
Okay.
For 3 years.
Okay. So what are you trying to figure out right now?
What that payment would be.
Okay. So on the 228?
Yeah, so
okay.
If we were to just use their existing interest rate, which is, what would you guess, 4%, something like that?
That's what you're going to use for?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just see what that payment is. So 228 okay. present value. That's after our down payment.
Yep.
Let's just go 4% interest. And as far as the term, we don't know what they're at, but it would probably be amortized over 360, right? Months?
Most likely, yeah. I mean, their payment's pretty low.
Yeah. And then, see what that, so that payment would be $1,088. Mm-hmm. 51. Okay. Which is
a little higher than what you want it to be, right?
Yeah, just barely though. I think. Yeah,
not a lot.
I can't remember.
Maybe 50 bucks.
Yeah. So that might work, just wrapping their, just wrapping that 95 into their current.
Well, try 3.75%. Just put 3.75.
3.75.
Yep, no.
Payment. So that brings it down to 1,055.
Yep. So you're close. Maybe you just come in at 3.5.
So let's try that. Interest. Solve for payment again. So that puts us at 1,023.82. So. Yes. So that's real close there, but what happens if their interest rate's a little higher on that existing debt?
But so what? What do we care? Their payment's 665. They're going to be collecting 1,023, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay. So that,
yeah, people, sometimes sellers come back and they say, well, I'm paying 4.5%, and you're only offering me 3.5%. And I'm like, I'm offering you considerably more money than what you owe on the property. Are you really worried about that over the course of 3 years or 5 years? Or you're way further into the loan than we are. Your loan's paying down much faster than the new loan is.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned about what their interest rate. I'd be concerned if it was a variable rate and it could change, but I'm not concerned at all what their rate is.
Okay. So I kind of like that offer then. Purchase price 240, down payment 12,000. We'd do a wraparound or all-inclusive trust deed for 228 for 3 years at 3.5% interest.
Okay. So what would be the balloon payment?
3.5%. Okay. So so we're going to solve for future value.
Yep, first we're going to put in the term.
Yeah, so we're going to go 36 months. Yep. 36 in.
Yep.
And then hit future value. So you're
214,400. Okay. So basically this will pay down almost 14,000 over the course of 3 years. So a little less than $5,000 a year.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Correct.
Here's my concern. Well, is it a concern? What did we say that this property is worth?
290.
So 290.
Fixed up. Fixed up. Yeah. So if we put some money into it.
Yeah. So that would be enough to refinance it without having to come with any more money. So yeah. we figured that out. The real only question is the cash on cash return good enough to, you know, it's a good owner finance deal. It's not very long term. Most landlords would like this to be 5 years, 7 years, 10, 15, 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So really, is it attractive enough? Because if they have to go put in, you know, 10 grand, their cash on cash return is going to drop to more like 10. All in all, it's for a $300 a month cash flow.
Yeah, it's not a lot. So there's a lot that really hinges on the condition here. But
let's say that you only had to put in a few thousand dollars.
Yeah. I mean,
still not like a home run kind of deal though, right?
Right. And let's say we wanted to wholesale it for at least 12,000. So if they were in 24, say they had to put five in, say they were into it 29.
Let's say 30.
30. Okay. To keep it even.
Yeah. 12% return on cash on cash.
Yeah. So 12%, that could work. That could work. There might still be a chance out there finding a landlord for this. So I think that offer would work to keep that pool of buyers open, to keep that. And then of course, if you couldn't find a landlord that would be interested in this, I mean, these are still great terms for an owner occupant, right?
Sure. Yeah. And again, it would come back to most likely, you know, how much in repair work does it need?
Yeah.
But certainly it's something that could be passed on to an owner occupant.
Yeah. So if I went and seen this thing and I looked at it and I was like, man, this thing needs like $10,000 or more in work, then I'd probably go that route.
Yep.
For the end buyer, try to find an owner occupant. But if it, you know, if I went there and was like, yeah, it's dated, but it's clean, you might have to do some painting or replace carpet here or there. And you
not
could do
that big of a deal.
Yeah. If you could do it, you know, 5 to 6,000, then I would open it up to, either a landlord. And if I couldn't find a landlord, I would try to, I would market for a, owner occupant.
Okay. Are there any other offers that you would consider making?
If I had more time to think about it, yes.
Well, you certainly could make a longer term offer, right?
Do like a 5 year.
Yeah, or even longer than that. You certainly could make a short term rehab offer, right?
Financing, yeah. And I would definitely try to come up with a short term financing. If I was looking to flip it, just to kind of open their options up.
Okay.
So that would probably be the third offer I would make. I could pay him a little more than the 205. I don't think I'd want to be into it any more than like 210, I think.
Well, they're asking 250.
Yeah,
like, but talking cash.
Yeah, for my cash offer.
Oh, okay.
Come up like 210 and then take over monthly payments, their monthly payments.
Okay.
And you know, be into it like 25 down or something.
Okay. Which, yeah, helps bridge that gap a bit that you have between what they're asking and what you're willing to pay, and would eliminate any kind of hard money lending that you would have to go borrow.
Yeah, correct.
Yep.
So like 210, 25 down, take over the existing monthly payments. And then the remaining balance would be due after 6 months or 7 month balloon.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, if I had to make three offers, I think those would be it right now.
Okay, so it would be the cash, it would be a short-term financing, and then it would be this more three-year type owner financing deal.
Yeah, correct. Okay. Yeah, 240, 12K down, okay. 228 financed for 3 years at 3.5% interest, and then a balloon payment of 214, 400.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that's where I would go with that, Jeff.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see, because on next episode, we'll look at the offers that I made and why.
Okay. I'd be definitely interested in that.
But one of the things that I want to point out to you is now all of a sudden, first of all, you're dealing with the same kinds of things that I would be dealing with, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, I don't really know what kind of condition this property is in. I mean, it could be, hey, not bad to, oh my God, right? We just don't know. Yes, we've asked the seller. We probably could have done a better job of pre-screening that seller and gaining, but you know, there is a language barrier, communication issue. Most likely it's better to, at this point, put some offers together and see if we can get it under contract or, you know, go see the property, you know, right away and see if what kind of shape it's in.
Yeah.
That's not what we like to do necessarily, especially unless there's like, you know, some serious motivation there. One of the other things that I noticed is that, you know, and I'm always curious about this is, and I think our listeners are too, is, all right, so he's asking 250. You offered 240. Mm-hmm. How'd you come up with why?
Well, I kind of went over that, but if the property needs some work and their number is 250, I think we can bring them down off that number. Okay. Down to 240, because it's not a huge difference and they still have a lot of equity.
Yeah.
So it's not like they only have $10,000 in equity here. And if you offered the 240, that 10,000 goes away, right? They still have.
So it's not always imperative that we actually have to give them what they want or more than what they want.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. Sometimes we're able to, but.
Yeah, and that's
not a rule.
That's very important to understand, because real estate, what does everyone say? When do you make your money?
When you buy.
So you still have to buy it at a discount. And, you know, we might look at the property and say, wow, this thing, like we said, it might be in great condition.
Well, if he told you it's in excellent condition, you know, the kitchen and bathrooms were updated in the last 2-3 years. We just did a roof in the last 5 years. You know, the new paint, you know, the carpet, the flooring's fairly new. I mean, would you be okay offering them 250?
Yeah, I would.
And I might have even offered them 255, 257.
Correct.
But the more work that they're telling me it needs, the more that we've got to, you know, create some equity,
some just spread. Like you said. Yeah, some spread for ourselves.
Yeah.
And if the property doesn't need any work and it was in excellent condition, then we could, you know, a landlord, this would be like more turnkey for a landlord.
Right.
Right. Yep. And if they don't have to come up with those repair costs.
Now it becomes at least a decent return on their investment. And you can own a rental property for, you know, around 10% down.
Correct. And on the other flip side of that, for an owner occupant, I mean, the nicer the property is, the more you can probably ask for a down payment, and it's going to be a lot easier finding somebody. Because not everyone's a handyman, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. More people want, you know, pretty much done for you rather than that. But there is always that, hey, we're always looking for affordable housing. And, mm-hmm. You know, you couldn't rent this property for the same price, the same amount each month than you could actually own it for, the way that we've structured it, right? I mean,
yeah.
We talked about that this would rent for $1,400 to $1,600. and their payment's around $1,000, you know, plus taxes and insurance, but still less than 12. Payment. Yeah, 1200.
Yeah, that's a cheap payment.
Yeah.
It'd be easy to find someone that can make that.
Yeah.
Month.
Good. Well,
I think what we've established here is there is some guesswork involved up front, especially if you haven't seen the property. And like you said, Jeff, it's more important for you guys to get an offer out there and see if you can get something accepted, or even some feedback, right? You get some feedback from the seller when you send them the offer. But just keep in mind, guys, there's always some guesswork. And even if you go look at the property, your repairs might be off, right? Your repairs could be off $10,000. Who knows?
We just went and looked at a property. We actually made the offers. You know, we were close. We couldn't quite get there. I finally sent my acquisition manager out. And, I mean, she's a hoarder. There's stuff everywhere. It looks in okay shape, but you can't see much. It is a guess to some degree that if you cleaned out all that stuff, that things would be in decent condition.
Yeah, for sure. And especially with those kind of houses, because there's so much you can't see, right?
Even in the video, or not in the video, it's a listed property. So I went on the MLS and I looked through the pictures. I'm like, I see a lot of stuff. It's just a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yep. And I don't know, we just did a house that we put it on the market. And, you know, when I went and first looked at this house, there was a lot of junk in there and I couldn't really tell how uneven the floors were in this house. And after we got all the junk out and we started looking at it, we're like, wow, this is huge. There was a huge difference between how much the kitchen floor sloughed off. And I didn't really notice that when I first initially went and looked at it.
Yeah. Hard to.
Yeah. And there was just so much stuff in there. And so those are the kind of things that you'll come across all the time. And that's, again, so my guesswork is like, yeah, we don't need to do too much leveling of the floor in here. Then, you know, come to find out it's quite a bit.
Yeah. When you take like an office chair with wheels and you take it at one corner and you kind of let it slide down to the other, typically you got some flooring deal to make, got to fix. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right,
let's wrap this one up and we'll
do another
one. I'll go through some offers that we made.
Okay. Well, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this. I hope that at least listening to this, you kind of gain, or at least you can kind of get an idea of the thought process behind it. Again, I'm new at using creative financing, and Jeff's been my mentor for a couple years now. And so with the steps that I just went through, that's really what you guys need to do out there as well. And so I hope that this episode is valuable for you guys in that aspect. We have a special video where Jeff walks you through how he makes these offers. He shows you his letter of intent. He starts, you know, it's from start to finish, and even how he was to sell the property to his end buyer. So that video, if you guys just text our hotline number, creative financing, it'll send you the link automatically. And our hotline number that we give out on every episode is 877-409-8090. You can also leave us a message or a comment at that number if you want to just drop us a voicemail. And especially if you guys are out there using this education to do deals, we would love to hear from you. We'd love to get you on the show. So give us a call, 877-409-8090. You can also find us on Facebook at the Creative Financing Podcast, and YouTube at the Creative Financing Show. And then if you want to get more info on Jeff's apprenticeship program, he has two of them. You can just leave us a message on that hotline and just let us know you're interested. Do you want to talk about that at all?
But one of the things that we're really going to ramp up in come January is that we're really going to focus on commercial deals throughout the United States. So if you're interested in learning how to use creative financing, you'd like to work with me and my team, give us give a call to the hotline. I'll call you back. We'll have a conversation. We'll see if it's a good fit. I'm looking for people that, one, want to make pretty good money, two, that are going to, they're go-getters. They're going to make something happen. Yep, they want to learn along the way.
Yep. Cool. Okay, guys, until next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.